This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Praise God. Today, the sharing that I'm going to do is called From Morning Till Evening. We're actually going to be looking at the last chapter of Acts, Acts 28. We're not going to be reading the whole thing. It's verses 11 to 31. So just 20 verses. It's kind of a bittersweet day for us. In the Rossendale group, we've been going through the book of Acts throughout 2013. And so today's our last day in Acts, and so I'm really excited to kind of finish Acts with you guys. It's been an exciting journey. I think most of us will say it's been an exciting journey, and today we come to not the end of Paul's journey, but the end of what Luke writes about this journey. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 28, verses 11 through 31. And then I'm going to pray for us. And then I'll go into the teaching. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandria ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island, and landing at Syracuse, we stayed there 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Regium, and after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were invited to stay with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Forum and the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I called for you, to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." Then they said to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or broken or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere." So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. From morning till evening, and some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these things, the Jews departed, and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I believe, God, that you have already spoken to us this morning, God. I thank you, Holy Father, God, that we are, God, able to again to come before your word today, God. Heavenly Father, God, my prayer, Lord, yesterday and the last few days, God, is that I was asking you, God, what you would say to me. And Holy Father, God, I believe, Holy Father, God, that this is what you're saying to me, what I'm about to share. And I pray, Holy Father, God, if your Spirit and your Son is also saying this to someone else today, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and a mind to comprehend what you're speaking to us today, God. You alone are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, God, for your eternal word, God. We thank you, Holy Father, for the faithfulness of Luke today, God. As we conclude this book, we thank you for the faithfulness of Luke, who was diligent and descriptive and left for us a testimony. Holy Father, God, may you testify to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we've been reading through the book of Acts. And those who have read through the book of Acts, you guys know that it really begins with the apostles and the work of the apostles and what God is doing through the apostles, really through, you know, Peter and John and the other disciples. And then somewhere along the way, Luke, the author of Acts, moves from the apostles and starts to focus on Paul. And so we've been going with Paul on his journey, and this is where the book of Acts ends. It ends with Paul. One of the things that, I don't know if, as I read this and as we've been going through this, so every week I'm looking at this and progressing, one of the things that really strikes me about the book of Acts and the end of Acts is that there is no resolution. There is no resolution in this. And for those who have been following along with us, we know the journey that Paul has been on. For 2 years he was sitting in prison, where just rotting away. Well, in our minds, what we would think of rotting away, waiting for a hearing. And then when he finally got that hearing, after 2 years, we see that he appeals to Caesar. And so now he is going to Caesar, and as he is going on this journey, we see that it's not a straight journey. It's a journey that when you read it, it sounds like it will never end. It's months and months he's traveling, and through that journey, he almost lost his own life and the life of his brothers. And after all of this, he finally lands in Rome, in the place where Jesus Christ over and over again says to him, "You must appear in Rome." And he finally gets to his destination. And even through all of that, there is no resolution. The book ends with him again for 2 more years sitting as a prisoner in a house waiting for the day of his judgment. But I believe that there is a reason that Luke, who is a very organized writer, very descriptive writer, ends the story with no resolution and keeps it open. It is not only that the book of Acts ends with no resolution, it is also that the book of Acts ends with a man who was faithful to God and continued to be faithful to God. And in verse 30, it says that then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him. It doesn't say that Paul received some of the people that came to him. It says that Paul received everyone who came to him. And so this is the way that the book of Acts ends. In the life of Paul, there is no resolution. And yet, we see a man that is continuing to be faithful. And we know that Paul is a man that is second to none. Most of the books that were written about Paul were written in moments where there was no resolution. A lot of the books of letters were written while he's waiting in prison, waiting to be heard. It is in moments of resolution, without resolution. And today we know that he is a man who is second to none. And if there is anything that, as I was reading the end of Acts, that this book teaches me, and anything that I believe that this book of Acts should teach all of us, is that there is never a good reason for us to be faithless to God. I just want to say that again. There is never a good reason for us to be faithless unto God. We have reasons in our lives why we are faithless to God. I didn't say there are no reasons to be faithless to God. I said there are no good reasons to be faithless unto God. We may have a lot of reasons why we are being faithless today unto God. But I say to you today, there is no good reason. Paul was a man who, when you look at his journey, was not an easy journey. Paul was a man who had every reason to be faithless unto God. Things in his life that he thought would have gone a certain way didn't go a certain way. And he ends that journey in the book of Acts, waiting for judgment. And I remember when I was young, if I did something wrong, my dad would tell me, you know, don't go to sleep. Wait, stay up till I come home. And you know, the only thing that's worse than judgment is waiting for judgment. And this is where Paul is, but it says at the end that he received all. Even in the moment when he could have been faithless and started to worry, he was completely faithful. We as children of God have no reason to be faithless. I just want to look at a few verses because I think there are things that may actually speak to us today. Here it says that, I just want to read from verse 17, it says, when it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem to the hands of the Romans. Many of us today may be in a place of yets in our life. We may say, God, I have been faithful as a wife or a husband. I treat my wife or my husband the way that they deserve to be treated. And yet my husband or my wife doesn't treat me the way that I should be treated. Or there might be another yet in our lives. Maybe we were in school and we worked really hard and we thought that by this time in our lives that we would be somewhere and yet we're still struggling. I did all these things, yet, or maybe there's another yet. Maybe it's, you know, people like Freddie and I who are trying to be in the ministry, and we say to God, God, I have tried to be faithful, and yet I have not seen much fruit. A lot of us in our lives might be in that place of yet. Or it might also, we may also have places of buts in our life. That's the next thing. In verse 19, it says, but when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. He said, but the Jews, what's Paul saying? Paul is saying that the Romans were willing to let me go. He's saying, but my own people betrayed me. But my own people betrayed me. And so that might also be the case in our lives. We may have buts. We may have grown up in circumstances when our parents or our fathers were not faithful to us the way that they should have been faithful to us. And we may also be people with butts in our lives are those who are closest to us, those whom we expected to be most faithful to us, ended up being those that were least faithful to us. But ultimately, what is God saying to us in this passage? There is never a reason for us to be faithless to God. There is never a good reason for us to be faithless unto God. The book of John ends with what? It ends with Peter asking Jesus something. He says, "But what about this man?" And he's talking about John. And what is Jesus' reply? "What is it to you if he remains? You follow me. Don't worry about how this other man is going to be faithful to me. That's not your problem." And sometimes we get stuck on why other people are not faithful, or maybe not faithful to us. And Jesus is saying to Peter, don't worry about why or how John is going to be faithful to me or not going to be faithful to me. You follow me. And then the book of Acts at the end, one of the last things that the disciples asked Jesus is this: "Jesus, when will you restore the kingdom of Israel to us?" And so the disciples' last question to Jesus is, "When will you show your faithfulness unto us, Jesus?" And what is Jesus' response again? "It is not for you to know the times that the Father has put in his own authority, but you," and we know how that ends, "but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." The disciples were asking Jesus, "When will you show your faithfulness to us, Christ?" And Jesus responds, "Don't worry about how and when I will show my faithfulness to you in your life. The only thing that you need to be worried about is when and how you will show your faithfulness to me." And that's one of the things that I've been learning in my Christian walk is this. In moments of darkness in our lives, in moments where there is no resolution in our lives, in moments when we're in journeys like Paul, it seems to be beginning and we're supposed to be going somewhere. We're not here, or we're not there. It just seems like we're somewhere there and we don't see the light. And the one thing that I have learned in my Christian walk, and not that I'm always faithful, but the one thing that I've learned is in that in moments of darkness in our lives, there is only one question that we need to ask. The only one question that we need to ask is, at this moment, how can I be faithful to God? That's the only question that we need to ask ourselves in moments of darkness. And this is the reason why Paul became a man that was second to none. It wasn't that his journey was smooth. And you can look at a man like Paul and say, well, he's anointed by God. He was chosen by God. But he didn't have a smooth journey at all. There were so many moments of darkness in his life, so many moments without resolution in his life. But in every moment, all he asked is, God, at this moment, how can I be faithful to you? And the word of encouragement that I wanted just to give to us is there are three things that God gives to us to help us to be faithful. The three things that God gives us to be faithful and to live faithful lives. The first thing is the obvious thing that if you read Acts, if you don't know this, then you probably didn't get much from Acts, is that God gives us his Spirit to dwell within us. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you shall do these acts of faithfulness. The first thing that God gives us is the Spirit of God who is in us. The second thing that God gives us that we see, especially at the end of Acts, and this is something that I've been saying, is that Luke is always, especially at the end of Acts, is always saying "we." That's the other thing that Paul had. Paul is going through this journey, and it is darkness, it is dangerous, it is no resolution, it is brokenness, But the one thing that we see with Paul is that throughout this journey, not once in the whole book of Acts do we ever see Paul traveling alone. Not once in the book of Acts do we ever see Paul traveling on this journey of life alone. And that's one of the things that God gives us, is brothers and faithful brothers and sisters who are supposed to go on this journey with us. And we as children of God are supposed to have the Spirit of God with us, but we're always supposed to have the brothers and sisters of God with us. And the third thing here that God gives to us, we have the Spirit that goes, that is in us, the brothers and sisters of God who are with us. And the last thing here that we see here is the Son of God who goes before us. And so I just want to read that verse in verse 11. It says, after 3 months we sailed in an Alexandria ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers which had wintered at the island. So most of us probably don't know who the twin brothers are. I didn't know. I had to look this up myself. But they're actually the two sons of Zeus. And so on the ship, what they have is that they have, you know, as the head, right on front of the ship, they have the two sons of Zeus. And why would a sailor put the two of their gods right at the front of their ship? Because it's to give themselves a sense of hope, right? It's to say that wherever we go, our two gods go before us. And so before we enter into any dangerous waters, we know that our God first enters into those waters, right? And this is the hope that they had. It was a false hope, but we have a true hope. We have the Spirit of God within us that gives us hope. We have the brothers and sisters of God with us that gives us hope. But ultimately, we have the Son of God who goes before us that gives us hope. And that's the thing that Jesus said to Paul, said to Peter. He didn't say to Peter, you go. And the Christian life is not Jesus saying to us, you go. He says what? You follow. It means that everywhere that God takes us, everywhere that Jesus takes us, he goes before us. And we're simply following him. And there is nowhere, and that's one of the last things that Jesus said to the disciples, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so those are the three things that God gives to us. I'm sure there are other things, but the three things from this passage that God gives us, the Spirit, he gives us brothers, and he gives us his Son. And so I said there is no reason for us to be faithless. But I want to kind of finish on just a positive note, is what happens when we as children of God are faithful? What happens when we as children of God are faithful? I just want to read those verses. In verse 15 it says, now from there when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. There's really two things that happens when we are faithful unto God. When we walk in faithfulness unto God, there's two things that happens, and Paul did both of them. The first thing it says is that when those brothers came and met them, when those brothers were faithful unto him, the first thing that it says is that Paul thanked God. So the first thing that happens when we are faithful unto God is what? It reminds others of the faithfulness of God. When we are faithful unto God, Paul was at a place that I wouldn't have even known if that he was terrified except for this one little passage. But when he saw these brothers who came from distant places and came to see him, because of their faithfulness, he says that he thanked God. He doesn't at first say that he thanked them. He says that he thanked God. That because these men were faithful unto him, he was reminded of the faithfulness of God. And that's what we do for each other when we are faithful to each other. The first thing that we do, and I would say the most important thing that we do, is tangibly remind each other how faithful God is to us. But the second thing that it says here is, and Paul took courage. That's the other thing about faithfulness, is that faithlessness in our life will breed more faithlessness. When a father is faithless to his children, those children will end up being faithless to their children. But there is something here that the Word of God is saying, that when the children of God are faithful, it will breed more faithfulness. And right here it says that Paul took courage. When he saw the faithfulness of these brothers, it encouraged him to also to continue in his faithfulness. Those are the two things that we can offer to each other. Maybe we are in places of faithlessness, and because we are faithless, we're already starting to see the brokenness in others, including our kids. But if we begin to become faithful unto God, others will begin to see the faithfulness of God. And this is the reason why before Jesus Christ is sent into the world, John the Baptist is sent. And why was John the Baptist sent into the world? To turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. It was when children saw the faithfulness of their worldly fathers that they were going to begin to hope in their Father in heaven. And all of us today are here. And if there is any faithfulness in our lives today, it is because we have seen the faithfulness of Christ. And because he has been faithful to us, we are encouraged to continue to be faithful. 2,000 years later, after Paul is gone, his letters are still with us. 13 out of the 27 books of the New Testament are written by Paul. Because of his faithfulness 2,000 years ago, think about this, because of a man's faithfulness 2,000 years ago, he is giving us courage to be faithful 2,000 years later. If that doesn't move us, I'm not sure what will. I want to just conclude with the title of this teaching. It's From Morning Till Evening. From Morning Till Evening, that's really, Freddie and I get together, we are praying, but that's really my number one prayer. If you were to ask me what my prayer unto God is, what I desire above all things, and if you were to ask Freddie too, I think after we've been spending some time together, what is our number one desire in life? I think we would both answer from morning till evening. From morning till evening. Leah now, she'll come to us and she'll say, you know, she always tries to get an assessment from us. And she says, you know, Daddy, Mommy, was I good today? And then she'll start giving her own assessment. You know, I was medium good today, right? And that's what in our lives, many of us, we try to do. We try to create degrees of faithfulness. I was somewhat faithful, right? And when we look at our day, the way that we comfort ourselves, at the end of the day, we say, okay, part of this day, maybe that part of the day, I wasn't faithful unto God, but I was pretty faithful. For most of the day, I was faithful unto God. And really the prayer that I have for God, and this is why this teaching is first for me, and but hopefully maybe it will touch you too, is that my prayer for 2014 is from morning till evening, from the moment that I wake up till the moment I go to sleep, that I can be faithful. Because I don't believe that there are degrees of faithfulness. Either we are faithful or we are not. And I'm no longer going to try to lie to myself and say that I'm medium good anymore. Either I'm being faithful and I'm not. And the truth is there are areas of my life where I don't have the faithfulness that I need unto God. I just want to pray for us, and then we'll conclude and we can go into the next one. So if anyone else wants to pray along with me, please feel free. Heavenly Father God, Holy Father God, I pray that even my own, Lord, my weaknesses, God, even as I share today, God, my own anxieties and my fears, God, my worthlessness, God, as I was sharing what I shared today, God, I pray that it would not hinder the work of your Spirit, God. Heavenly Father, God, we believe, God, that you don't speak to your children, God, because the servant who speaks is faithful, God. We believe that you speak because you are faithful and desire to bring us from death into life, God. Holy Father, God, Lord, there is nothing about my life that is hidden from anybody. Tomorrow morning, the new day begins, and the new day will end. And you know, God, that there are areas in that day that are not faithful. Holy Father, God, I pray for myself one prayer. I pray for this for the body as well, God, from morning till evening. That somehow, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the faith that we have in the Son of God, and through the encouragement of the brothers that we have with us, that one day we will be able to say, from morning till evening, my Father. That one day Jesus Christ will be able to look at us and say, good and faithful servant, from morning till evening, you have been faithful to me. From the beginning till the end, you were faithful unto me. There was never a moment that you were not faithful unto me. Holy Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who even on the cross was ministering to a man who hung next to him. Even on the cross, he remained faithful. We have no excuse, but we have more than the Son of God as an example today. We have finished Acts, and we have Paul as an example, who in brokenness, who in so much brokenness, who in so many areas where everything seemed like nothing was happening, he remained faithful through the Spirit of God, through the Son of God, and through the fellowship of faithful brothers like Luke in his life. I pray that you would continue to bring those kind of brothers into our lives. May we not treat our brothers and the brothers that you have given to us something light any longer, God. I know, Holy Father, that is the reason that the church, and one of the main reasons that the church of God is dying today. When we go to churches, one of the things that they ask us to do is to greet the person next to you. What they're really saying to us is those who are supposed to be your brothers are really strangers, so greet them. And we know that's one of the reasons that we are dying, God. I pray that you would reveal to us the value of having faithful brothers in our lives and faithful sisters. May we, in every way, God, try to surround ourselves with men like Luke, that when we see their faithfulness, that we would become faithful. And that's the thing that Preeti said to me in 2013. She said, ever since you started meeting with Freddie, things are changing in your life. I thank you, Holy Father, because of the faithfulness of another man, you're teaching me to be faithful. I pray that through my faithfulness, that in someone else would become encouraged to become faithful, God. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen.